All right, we continue in the book of Philippians. We'll be finishing up in the next 2 weeks, and then it'll be Easter Sunday, and we hope you will be here with us as we continue this journey. As we said, this is 10 years later, and Paul is writing this letter to all the followers of Jesus in Philippi. A guy we met a couple of weeks ago in chapter 2, Epaphroditus, he's probably the one that takes this letter, which, you know, we think of a letter, a little envelope. This was probably, I don't know, 6 foot of scroll that was rolled up, sealed, that Epaphroditus brought back. They just didn't have, you know, what we take for granted. And so he came in and probably read it to the church, and it gets passed on and saved and preserved, and we get to follow it today. It's just amazing. All because of Paul's second missionary journey, which he comes to Philippi, leads Lydia to Christ, and it all starts after that. And so if you were to go today, and the reason I tell you this is because it is amazing that all these places you can go visit and see things, and that just reminds us there's so much evidence. We just don't believe because we have the Bible. We have so much evidence out there that reminds us, hey, all of this is real. All of this happened. All of this took place. And every time you'll hear, because this is the time of year where if you're not careful, the History Channel and everybody else will be having all these specials on about certain things. And all this person never existed and that person. Give it long enough and they will unearth something that reveals it. For example, for years, they used to say, I don't know where this pilot guy is that everybody's talking about because we can't find any record of him. And since then, they have discovered several things archaeologically that Pilate actually did. His name is on there. They've also uncovered other things that other people have talked about Pilate. And so that's what happens. And so I want you to know this stuff because this stuff is real and it should remind us, hey, there is evidence. I just don't have faith because of faith itself. I have faith because there is evidence. There are eyewitnesses. Paul was an eyewitness. He saw the resurrected Lord, and that changed everything about his life. And so remember, last week was that a healthy church helps people depend on Christ alone by faith alone for salvation. That Paul said, it's not my resume. It's getting me anywhere. It has nothing to do with that. It is all because of Christ. And he said, basically, I took my resume and threw it out because the only thing that matters is Christ himself. Now, in our last series, we kind of covered part of Philippians chapter 3, so we're going to skip today, and we're going to be in chapter 4 this week and next week as we kind of walk through and finish up this letter. And so this morning, we're going to talk about worry, okay? And so specifically, here's the question I want you to think about. When you worry, what do you worry about? Now, if you would have stopped me 2 weeks ago and said, how much of a warrior are you? How often do you worry? Some, but I wouldn't have said bad. Until, right, there's always something that kind of triggers it, okay? Until Stephen decided to go on this team to Romania, okay? I don't know what happens, okay? So that's all I'm going to say. Some of you parents are going to understand this, okay? Some of you kids are going to be like, why are my parents so crazy at times? This is why we're crazy, okay? Because this thing called worry takes over, okay? So they are in Romania. We are getting kind of messages here and there. And Thursday, about 1 o'clock, they were 7 hours ahead of us. Thursday, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we get this last message. Hey, we're finishing up, going to be heading back home. Nothing on Friday, which was okay, right? It's going to happen. Saturday comes, Saturday noon, Saturday night, okay? Nothing. Okay, zero, nothing, have no idea. I used every trick I know in the book, which parents, I will fill you in later, how to track your kids anywhere they are, okay? But we won't tell the kids, okay? So yeah, I tried every trick, nothing, okay? And so I don't know if this has happened to you, but you can't go to sleep because you're worrying about what's going on, okay? So I did the next best thing you could do. I'm watching news, BBC, okay, what happened in Romania, okay? Because something happened in Romania today. Is there a plane crash? Is there, okay? There are certain things, do you know, that you do not want to Google when you're worrying? For example, when Stephen landed in Chicago, they were supposed to then take an Amtrak train. Do you know what happens when you Google Amtrak? I'll tell you. What comes up is Amtrak, and the next very thing that you could click on, Amtrak accidents today. I read about every accident that Amtrak ever had in the last 3 years, okay? None of them took place in this part of the country, okay? It was terrible, okay? It was awful. I'm trying to figure out flights into Heathrow Airport in London. It was just, I know way too much. I figured that out, okay? I know way too much stuff. On top of that, before he left, okay, this is why you shouldn't watch the news sometimes, okay? I found out that you know, Russia's having issues, and I'm thinking, this is the 1980s. I grew up in that. So Soviet Union's back, okay? They are going to take over Romania. It was bad, okay? You got to come up here and do this sometimes. Really good to confess this, okay? I was a wreck. And then I did not tell Jill. When she was like, no, I'm starting to get nervous, I said nothing. Because if I told her how bad I was, it was over for her, okay? It was just over for her, okay? The best sound in the world. 5:30 in the morning, Stephen sending a text that says, we're at Union Station in Chicago, and we're heading back, okay? We're taking the Amtrak now to St. Louis and going back. So we talked to him Sunday, because Stephen, why didn't you take your phone out of airplane mode when you got in Chicago at 9 o'clock on Saturday night? Oh, no, we were talking. Not a single person on his team took their phone out of airplane mode. I won't tell you how I know that, okay? None of them did that, okay? None of them did it. It was ridiculous. So I found out, as I probably would have stood up here and said, oh, don't worry too bad. Oh, gosh. So all the parents in the room probably understand this. If it hadn't happened to you, it will happen to you. Whether your kids, you know, whether it's when they get their license or they go on a trip, you just end up finding out, oh my goodness, I worry a lot that I didn't know I worried about. And I'm going to give you a clue today of what I think happens and why we do this, and how Paul talks about something that I believe he's worried about, but he makes a better choice. I mean, it's a far better choice. I wish I'd made the choice, okay? Because it would have been better and I would have slept better Saturday night, okay? I wish I'd done it. And he does it because of what has happened in his church. So if you start into chapter 4, here's what we find. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. He loved these people, and what he wants them to stay true. We could say maybe he got concerned about that. The ancient world was not an easy world to follow Jesus. Okay, you and I, we have it easy. They had it very hard, because you would grow up in towns. Philippi was probably a very similar town to many others. Okay, they had temples to other gods. It all depended on who the Caesar was, the emperor, whether or not you had to worship him. It is the whole reason John, by the way, Jesus' youngest disciple, gets put on the Isle of Patmos, because he refused to worship the mission. He refused to worship the emperor. And so the emperor said, fine, I'll teach you a lesson, and abandons him, sticks him on this island because he's so angry with him. It was very hard. There was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of persecution that took place. And so it was difficult. He was always worried. Why? He could have worried that, you know what? They're going to walk away. They're going to be like, this Christian thing, this is crazy. This is way too hard. I got to get up early on Sunday morning, go to church, and then go to work. Okay? Come on. They had it hard. And yet, here they are following Jesus in difficult things. So I think he was concerned about them. Second reason he concerned, look what happens next. Now, I appeal to you, Yodia and Syphe, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Now, can you imagine for a moment? Paul is writing this knowing what's going to happen, okay? Epaphroditus is going to stand up. He's going to read this scroll. And maybe this has been going on for a while, okay? These are two ladies in the church. I'm just going to guess they're sitting on opposite sides of the room, okay? They had some disagreement. We're not told what, okay? But they had some disagreement. Probably what was happening is what happens in most disagreements. People take sides, okay? Well, I'm on Yodia's side. That Syphe, she's crazy, okay? And it probably went the opposite way. And so I imagine Epaphroditus just kind of clear his throat and go, oh, this is what I've been waiting to read up here. Hey, ladies, right? Figure it out. Settle your disagreement. Why? And I asked my true partner, this is someone else who was helping him there, to help these two women. For they worked hard for me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. He is concerned about the very nature of the church because he hears about this disagreement. Paul's not even there. Okay? And Epaphroditus shows up maybe in Rome to visit him. And how are things in Philippi? Well, we got this problem. These two ladies are at it, and they've just got the whole church on sides, and it's bad. That he decides to write this in here and say, figure it out, work it out. Somebody help them settle this. Because can I tell you what happened in Philippi that doesn't happen anymore? They had to work it out, not go to the church down the road. Okay? They had to work it out. There wasn't, oh, I'm just going to go to another church and figure it out because, they didn't do that. They didn't have even those options. They figured it out. They worked it out because Paul was worried what? The unity of the church is everything. We are each other's back. We should be loyal to one another. We should help one another. Okay? Not when somebody pulls us aside and tells us something, oh, I got to tell somebody else. None of that stuff that goes on quite often. We ought to be there for each other. And he's worried that in not being there for each other, the unity of the church is at stake. And very bad things could happen to the church because of it. Paul was worried about the unity of the church. He was also worried about them staying true. But instead of, if he had it in his day, Googling stuff, which, doesn't work. Instead of, not losing sleep, he tells us there's a different choice we can make. And first he starts off and he reminds us, he goes back to our reminder about what? Joy. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming soon. 2,000 years ago, they were just convinced the Lord is coming soon based on everything that they saw. And he goes right back to this theme of joy. The joy is the focus on the generosity of God that expresses itself through gratitude and praise, even in seasons of extreme disappointment. Yes, sitting in prison, he's going to write to that church and tell them to rejoice. He's going to tell them that even when things are tough and difficult and hard, you can still focus on the generosity and the goodness of God, even when everything is tough. And this also helps in this whole area of worry. Okay? Now he's going to talk about it. Right? Because he's worried about things and he's going to make a different choice and he's going to invite all of us, and that's what I love about Paul. He's just going to invite all of us to make a different choice instead of the normal worrying that we would do in different situations. Okay? And here it is. Don't worry about anything. Well, that's easy for you to say, Paul, right? Now, instead, here it comes. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Isn't that interesting? Okay, that instead of worrying, which does nothing, you can lose sleep, okay? You can eat up a lot of data on a phone, okay? You can do a lot of interesting things when you're worried. And he just says, well, what if we just did something different instead of it? Then look what he says. If we make a different choice to pray instead of worry, to depend upon God instead of worry, then you will experience God's peace. That would have been nice, right? Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, I got to decide to ask God for help. And part of why he tells us to do this, because Paul recognized something that at times we forget. He is sitting in a prison in Rome, okay? What is he going to do about what he's hearing that's going on in the church? Nothing, write it in a scroll, have somebody read it. Is that really going to do anything? I don't know, okay? What he wanted, okay? See, what I wanted and what you want is we want control. Come on, parents, let's just be honest for a moment. We like the movie Pinocchio because we want to pull strings, okay, right? We don't like it when they get cut, okay, and he's his own boy, okay? We like to pull strings. We like to control things. And the scariest things is when we no longer can control our kids, right? When they're off on their own, when they're doing things, when they decide, let's go to Romania for a mission trip, okay? That they're just things that are out of your control, okay? Now, I should have known that before he turned 22, okay? Obviously, right? I just must have forgotten along the way. But all of us have to realize that. There's so much that's out of our control. So what do? When things are out of our control, well, we either worry about him or we offer them up to the only one who is in control of everything. And that is our Heavenly Father, who is over everything and who is in charge and who is holding everything together. We offer it up to him. Because either we're going to try to control things or manipulate things the way we can or just worry ourselves crazy, or we're going to say, okay, God, would you just work in the midst of this? Would you help them to make the right decision? Would you help me to know how I can encourage them to do the right thing? Would you help me right now because I don't have any information and I'm going to tend to worry instead of trusting you? It is simply, I'm going to recognize that I don't have the control I'd like to have. I'm going to submit that to God, who is in control, and just ask him to work in something I have nothing and no control over. That's all he's doing. He is actually, Paul is actually being reminded here himself that he's not in charge of the church. He didn't start the church. He didn't found the church. Jesus did. On Easter morning when he walked out of the tomb. That's what changed everything. That's what started the church. That's what became the event that launched the early church. And even though Paul was the messenger who walked into Philippi that day and met Lydia and things started from there, it was not his church to control, to worry about. It was and always is Jesus' church. And he had to remind himself of that, sitting in the prison, realizing, I don't have any control. So why don't I offer up to the one who is in control the things that I'm concerned about, so that I will experience God's peace, which doesn't look like watching the BBC at 1 in the morning and not sleeping, okay? It looks so much different than the choices I was making that night and the choices that we all tend to make at different times. We just tend to just make choices that do not say that God's in control, and we do not experience his incredible peace. Here's the last part, what he wants to go from. And he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. And we've looked at this verse before. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, isn't it interesting that according to Paul, I can choose where my mind goes? I can actually choose to stop where my thoughts and my mind would go, which is the whole reason we get worried in the first place, isn't it? It's because I didn't stop my mind from going to stupid, irrational places that it just will go to. It just will go to that. Do you realize that? And do you realize that the less sleep you get, the more irrational and the more rational choices that you are likely to make because of that? Because that's just what happens. That's just what takes place in us. So guess what happens? So we worry, we lose sleep. We're going to make irrational choices. So I can actually choose where my mind goes. And look at this list. Let's go back to this. What is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable? Most of us don't go there, do we? We do not believe the best. We do not think the best. Okay? We go to the worst case scenario possible. Okay? And then feel a little bit better. Well, it didn't, you know. Plane didn't crash, you know, okay? The Russians didn't take over Romania. Things are looking up, right? And then we have a tendency to do that because we have just not surrendered to, wait a minute, I can choose differently where my mind goes. And I can choose to believe the best, and I can choose to do that instead of always believing the worst. And believing, oh, the worst possible thing is probably happening right now. So he says, fix. Take your thoughts and move them to what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If we would do that, it would simply make a huge shift to where worry sets in in our lives. It'd be a huge shift. Because all of a sudden, instead of letting our thoughts wander to the worst possible places, we would stop that. And we would go to a different place. And we would again recognize that God is in control. And we would recognize that that is where we experience the peace of God. And that quite often we don't have the peace of God because we're too busy trying to control and run and dictate our own world and trying to be our own God in it. And you don't have a lot of peace that way. We don't have a lot of peace that way, do we? When we're doing that. So he says, choose where your mind goes. In fact, this is where he's going to wrap up. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. He again says, listen, I probably got this wrong. I'm getting this right. I've recognized that God has worked in me so that I'm not just worried and trying to control things. I am letting Jesus know it is his church. And I am submitting to him and I'm experiencing the peace of God. That's a much better place to live. Paul found that out. I imagine the hard way, okay? After sleepless nights and wanting to probably write other things, that he found a different way to look out on all these churches that God was so gracious to help him see started and continue to grow. And just submitting that God had a plan in the midst of all of it. So see, I must decide to renew my mind. I must decide to go down different roads with my thoughts. I must decide to do different things than just to worry about the things I really have no control over and to offer that control up to my Heavenly Father. So, what would it look like if actually this took place? That a healthy church would be a place where we help one another replace anxiety or worry with joy. What would it look like if we did that for one another? That you knew that when you were prone to worry, when you were prone to say, I lost control and I don't know what to do, that you would actually reach out to somebody else who would pray for you and put their arm around you and say, it's okay, it's all going to work out. What would that look like if we were a church that did that? That did that very thing for one another, because there's all sorts of different seasons and different things that we experience and that we go through, and we are all going to be in these seasons. In these seasons where worry is just ready to set in and take hold and grab a hold as hard as it can of our hearts. And we just need the reminder and the prayers of someone else. Hey, let me pray for you. God's in control. God's going to work this out. God's in charge. And we just need to remind one another about that this is how God wants to work. This is how God wants to operate in our lives. What if a healthy church looked like that? So I want us to do something this morning before we kind of transition to our time of communion. And I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes, okay? And I want you to pray for the person next to you, the person closest to you, okay? I want you to pray for that person. You might have no idea what they're worried about. You might not have any clue. You might know exactly what they're worried about. But would you take these moments and just pray for the person next to you that they would choose to trust God in the midst of whatever's happening in their life. So would you do that right now in these few moments? Now that you've prayed for the person next to you, would you pray for yourself? And would you just ask God to show you where you're worrying, that you would make a different choice, and that you would trust God, whatever that situation is, kid, job, finance, whatever it might be, that you would just trust him in the midst of that. Would you just ask God right now to help you and to show you where your heart is worrying? Thank you. Heavenly Father, across this room this morning, we prayed for each other. Then we turned the prayers kind of inward because I imagine most of us have things that we're worried about. And maybe this week that didn't flare up and we didn't get a little crazy. But it's there. We've been there. We've done that. It's just hard. And Heavenly Father, we thank you. You know that. You know that. This was not Paul dictating to the church, what's the matter with you? You should be praying instead of worrying. This was a loving gesture from you, who I believe did this for Paul, who did this for them, who just put their arm around him and said, hey, I know. This is where you would worry. But this is an opportunity to trust God in the midst of what's going on. And so we would just ask, Father, that you would just help us. Our minds wander. We go to irrational, crazy places when we feel like we've lost control. But Father, the only person we control is ourselves, and we don't even do a good job at that. We thank you that you're in control, that we can trust the God over everything to work in our midst and to work in our lives and to care so much about us. You even care about the times we're worried. And you invite us into a relationship with you where you put your arm around us and you tell us, it's okay, trust me. I have a plan in everything. Even if it's the worst thing you imagine, I have a plan in everything. And with the grace, Father, that you give, remind us of the peace that you give in the midst of tough, difficult situations. We're getting ready, Father, to gather around this table where we take the bread and the cup, and we are reminded of the greatest sacrifice, the payment for our sin. Jesus, you were full of anxiety that night and trusted the plan. The plan of dying in our place and rising again for our salvation. So we ask your blessing upon the cup and the bread as it reminds us the power of what it looks like to trust you. So would you bless the cup and the bread. Remind us of your goodness and faithfulness in the midst of everything that we go through and deal with. May we choose not to worry, but to lift our needs up to the God who controls and is in control and sees everything. And it's all this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If our men will come forward, help